Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just to be clear, the picture on the cover of the bulletin today was not selected for Father's Day. Though, this crazed homeless man that we heard about in the Holy Gospel today may have been someone's father. And he was some father's son. So the demon possession that afflicted him didn't just afflict him, but possibly many more people, including his father who lost a son, perhaps his own children who were being forced to grow up without a father, and maybe also his wife who had to live without her husband. Collateral damage in this spiritual war. So the Good Shepherd acts. The satanic wolf has come and snatched one of his flock. And so he leaves the 99 in Israel and goes after the one who was lost, who had been captured by Satan. The people of that region had tried to bind this man and contain him for their own lives and safety and self-preservation. Jesus had come to unbind him, to set him free and give him his life back again. For this he goes to the country of the Gerasenes. For to the Good Shepherd, no place is too far, no place too lost to go after one of his own. Now, this is a story that seems pretty fantastic in our day and age, in which demons and demon possession is scoffed at and regarded as ignorant, superstitious, religious mumbo-jumbo, even by many Christians. Our Western, reasonable, educated minds know better. We come up with scientific reasons why things happen. Demons, possession, the supernatural, that's the stuff of movies and fantasy. We've moved past that. Don't think that way anymore. Maybe we should. Or at least maybe we shouldn't write it off so quickly. In other parts of the world, the demonic is taken much more seriously and seems to be much more visible. Is that because they don't know as much as us? Or is it because they know more? Is it because the demons are more active there than here? Or do the demons like the fact that we don't think about them much here, and so they have much more free rein to act? And would like to keep it that way. Satan is a pragmatist, after all. Whatever works. So when it comes to demons and the demonic, there are two errors we can make. To fear them too much, or think of them too little. To fear them too much is to give them more credit than they deserve. To think of them too little is not to give them enough. We don't want to fall into either of those ditches, but stay on the road of the truth. So this is a good story for us to consider today. For if you think for one moment that what Satan did to this poor man isn't what he wants to do to you, to possess you, to drive you, to torment you, to harm you, to destroy you, you are sorely mistaken. This is exactly what he wants to do to you. The reason he does not, or cannot, the only reason, is because God does not permit him to do so. But that doesn't mean that Satan is not active in your life. For consider for a moment, what is it that you are captive to? What sins controlling you, binding you, driving you? For some, it is sexual sins whose appetites they cannot satisfy. For others, it's rage, anger, and bitterness, making them act how they don't really want to act. For some, it is despair and hopelessness. That's all they can see and feel. For others, it's greed and the quest for riches and success at any cost that drives them. I could go on, the list is endless. Maybe we look more civilized and tamed than this man, but maybe appearances are deceiving. Maybe we are in as much danger as he. So how good that the Good Shepherd has come here for you. To us who are even farther away from Israel in both time and place than the region of the Gerasenes, he doesn't come in a boat, but in the waters of holy baptism. Here he steps into our world to deliver you from your sin and captivity. That's why whenever a person is baptized, we say, "Depart, unclean spirit, and make way for the Holy Spirit." And in those waters with the Word of God, God is at work. The Father adopts, the Son frees and forgives, and the Holy Spirit makes His home with you, puts you in your right mind, and clothes you with Jesus' perfect righteousness. And then, just like that once possessed man, we sit at Jesus' feet and learn from Him. But Satan doesn't then give up, of course. He just changes tactics. He'll then try to lure you away from Jesus' feet, Jesus' teaching, Jesus' life, that you forget how bad the captivity can be, to bring new false gods into your life that look and seem really good and helpful and right, to distract you, blind you, fool you, scare you, again, whatever it takes. Maybe he'll do it sooner, maybe later. Makes no difference to him, as long as the end result is the same. For remember what happened to Jesus. After he was baptized, he was tempted in the wilderness. And after that failed, Satan departed from him until an opportune time. And while there were perhaps many opportune times, Ultimately, that time came when Jesus was hoisted up on the cross. When his disciples abandoned him, his father forsook him, and the people who he came to save were mocking and humiliating him. You can almost hear Satan's words. Are you going to die, Jesus, for people who don't even want you as their Savior? Yes! Yes, he is! For just as he left the 99 in Israel and went to the country of the Gerasenes to save this one man, so he left his throne in heaven to come down and save us. All of us who since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden have been under the oppression of the evil one, captive to sin and lost. He enters this world of sin and death and graves that we live in to set us free and give us hope. He is the stronger man who has come to bind the strong man who has bound us. And the enemy of your enemy isn't just your friend. He is your Savior. For Jesus didn't just enter our world of sin and death and grave. He actually entered our sin and death and grave themselves in order to destroy them and their grip on us in his resurrection, to set us free and give us life again. And so after the freedom and life given to us in baptism, there is then also absolution. The blessings and benefits and promises of baptism applied again and again to us who wander and fall and weaken and believe the lies of the devil and so need them again and again. Our good shepherd never tires of saying those words of forgiveness to us. Words also spoken from the cross. Father, forgive them. And also speaking to the evil one, depart from my child. But then the story takes an unexpected turn. After this wonderful work of Jesus, the people are afraid. And they ask Jesus to leave. Was it because of the loss of the pigs, and so the loss of their income? Maybe they were frightened of what happened to the man, and maybe didn't particularly like it. They were used to the way things were. What would Jesus' presence mean then for them? For their lives? Those same fears are still with us today. For though Jesus' freedom and life and forgiveness is better, we don't always see it that way. We love what we love, and we want what we want, and we do what we do, and used to the way things are, we don't want to change. Perhaps the things that happen make us seem as if God is taking life away from us, the only life we know. But if what we don't want to change are false gods, people and things we love more than God, and we're living lives that are leading us away from God or in conflict with God and His Word, then we need change. We need to repent. We need those pigs in our lives to run away and be drowned. But instead, sadly, some avoid church, won't talk with the pastor, hide in the graveyards of sin, deny, or even ask Jesus to leave. or at least leave that part of our lives alone. And while Jesus does leave in this account, he does something else very important. He leaves the man behind. Or maybe better to say it this way, he stays there in the word of this man. That as this man stays and tells his family and friends and all in that region what God has done for him, that the Spirit worked through that word in the hearts of those who hear, to take away their fear and give them the life and faith they need. To know that Jesus hasn't come to take their life away from them, but to give them life. A better life. Real life. Eternal life. And so today, he sends pastors to preach, and he leaves you too in the places he has put you and given you folks to speak to. To tell of all that Jesus has done for you. You may not have all the answers. I'm sure this man didn't. But this he knew. He had been possessed, but now he was free. He was frightened, but now joyful. He was an outcast, but now a child of God. And that he could tell. So can you. To whoever God has gathered around you, and to whoever he has put you in the midst of, especially when we see Satan and his demons at work, when things are frightening and the world seems to be falling apart, like when mass shootings occur and people are looking for answers. The answers aren't to be found in ourselves, or in our wisdom, or how we can somehow make society better. The answer is only in the one who goes after the one. And not just the one, but each and every one. The one who gives freedom and life. The one who has come to be the light in our darkness. The hope in our despair and our confidence in a world gone mad. He has gone to his throne in heaven and yet is still here for us in his word and in his sacraments, still working, still giving, still saving. And so now here at his table, as both the host and the meal, to feed you, to give you what you need the most, himself. Him and his life and forgiveness in his body and blood, given for you on the cross, and now given to you here. For where Jesus enters in, Satan is cast out. So while Satan is real and sin is dangerous, we do not fear. For as we heard from St. Paul, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we may receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. That's what happened that day in the country of the Gerasenes. And that's what Jesus has done for you. Making this a very good Father's Day indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.